Blog Talk Radio.
Chris, IMTN Worldwide Radio, and this is Around the ATL. We are back once again with a new format this week. You'll find out more about that as the show goes along. 646-652-4479. Tonight, we are talking about the Atlanta Hawks. Are the Atlanta Hawks a bad team? Why do you think the team has lost so many games at the start of this season? Is it effort? Is it the lineups? Is it coaching? Is it all of the above? Will Trey get tired of losing and ask for a trade? Will the young pieces that we have get traded away? Will we ever get a backup point guard? And who is the center of the future? Can the Hawks still make the playoffs? Hawks only tonight on Around the ATL. So if you are a Hawks fan, you're an Atlanta Hawks fan, you are an Atlanta Hawks fan, you might be watching the game tonight. It's about to be halftime. Call into the show. Let's talk some Hawks, 646-652-4479. As per usual, we try to start the show giving some shout-outs to our folks on social media, mostly on Facebook. Let's say what's going on to Falcons Nation, Dirty Bird Nation, Atlanta Bird Gang. We are the G, Savage Dogs of UGA. I know they don't want to talk about anything right now. New Pack City, Atlanta Hawks Nation, Atlanta Braves Fan Group, Atlanta FC Fans, and the Atlanta Dream. Remember, tonight's show is being brought to you by the Originative Brand. Make sure you go to Instagram and look up the Originative Brand. Let them know that Around the ETO sent you. He creates the best apparel when it comes to Atlanta sports market. Make sure you go to my IG TV page on IMTM1 on Instagram and watch the film Falling Star. We're looking to do some big things with that film. See if you like the ending. Let us know, because we're trying to do a TV show or a feature film. Check it out. Of course, I've just been in Atlanta. I was actually in the hospital not too long ago. So what I'm doing is extending my Black Friday sale on photos and things of that nature. So definitely hit me up along those lines if you're someone who needs images for your modeling and or your acting pursuits there in Atlanta with Tyler Perry Studios up there. You know how big that is. That being said, let's go ahead and get started with the show. We're going to introduce our co-host for tonight, one of the writers of Sports Illustrated, Bulldog Maven, and also a writer for ATL All Day via Fansided, Jordan Jackson. What's going on tonight, Jordan?
What's going on, sir? Glad to be back on the show. Glad you're doing well. Definitely have had some concerns, and definitely feel bad. I just happened to lose my phone on the one weekend you go to the hospital. So horrible time on that. Want to give a shout out to Atlanta Talk Sports, as well as Georgia Bulldogs Football, and all of the people that listen to us from Twitter as well. A lot of Atlanta Hawks fans on Twitter are listeners of the show. And, you know, just continuing to follow this action that's going on right now, man. And so I guess with that being said, let's talk about it.
Tonight, we're talking Hawks. This is going to be a Hawks hour. We get to talk some Hawks during halftime a little bit, and on the front end of the third quarter for bits and pieces. Wanted to do a concentric Hawks show mostly because of what happened previously in the previous weeks, but really last night as well. Because over a period of time, it doesn't matter what era you're in, what you always look for is progress in your team, one way or the other. Even if you have horrible management, even if you have not the best players, you're still looking for those bright spots. You're still looking for growth within your organization, one way or the other. Even if it's even if it means you're going to be trading away those people, you still want them to grow, right? From one year to another, you want to see your team do better. It's because it's competitive. You want the team to win. Nobody likes a loser. It's just the principle of it. If you've ever played a sport before, you don't go walk out on the court and be like, who got down? Because you're planning to lose. I've never seen it happen in my whole life playing basketball. Someone come on the court and be like, hey, I ain't really trying to win, but pick me up anyway. I've never heard it before. I don't know about the rest of y'all. 646-652-4479. So, these last 4 years of this rebuild, of the complete retool of the Atlanta Hawks that's been going on, again, this is not just a two-year rebuild, folks. This has been going on for 4 years now. Wrestler took this team over, and it's been going on for 4 years, okay? Two of the years, we were winning games still. We were competitive. The last 2 years, we haven't been as competitive. We're still plucking along, still trying to fight. One of those years, he had the outgoing Coach Bud, and then one of those years, he had the incoming Coach Pierce. From one year to another, you want to see growth. And so for the first year of Trae Young being in the league, second year of John Collins in the league, you saw a whole lot of growth. Were they supposed to be worse the next year? I don't think so. Red Mamba and the rest of the guys. And so be it. Here it is, year two for Trae Young. All of a sudden, his points jump up 10 points, right? And John Collins from year one to year two, his points jumped up 10 points. What do you think he was going to be doing before his suspension as he got into it? Same thing with Red Mamba before he got hurt. Now, he's back on the court, and you see what a completely different team this is with him being on the court. The team wasn't going to get perceptibly worse, y'all. At least they weren't supposed to be. And again, man to man, at a certain point, it's across the board. That's why I said it in my intro. What is it exactly that's making the team not that great this year? Is it the effort on defense? If the coach is preaching and teaching the defense, is it the players not really wanting to play defense? Or is it not the coaching of defense? It has to be somewhere in there, because how can you just be that bad all the time in the second year? On offense, if it's a matter of why aren't people where they're supposed to be? Why aren't people calling out screens and things of that nature? Why aren't people holding on to the ball after a crisp pass from Trae Young? Why? Why aren't people being consistent night after night? Right now we're looking at the scoreboard, and after a tremendous game the night before, you have zero from Hunter right now. And we're down by 14. Was it 14? Oh, my goodness. How did that happen? It was just 10 points a minute ago. 66-52 is the halftime score right now. Right now, somehow, Zach LaVine has 18 points. How is that possible? I don't know about this, guys. So that's what I want to talk about tonight. 646-652-4479. Shout out to those watching on New Pack City. I see George is in there. A couple of people watching. Jordan, last couple of weeks has been a game that maybe you thought about and you looked at it from a certain point of view. And before you get started, there's the Portland game. I hadn't even talked about that game yet. So what is, has been anything that's kind of not concerned you necessarily, but just make you think about where the team is right now, this point of the season with 18 losses?
Well, obviously, you know, we definitely didn't expect to be here. I know one of the things that you and I, though, we both always put like an asterisk on our prediction of the Hawks, you know, being a playoff team this year, was being generally healthy. having most of our players most of the games. Obviously, the John Collins situation isn't regarding health, but having him being missing is the biggest reason why this team is in the situation it's in. And, I mean, that's nobody's fault but John's. That's not coach's fault. That's not Travis Schlenk's fault. That's John Collins' fault. And I love John Collins. I support him. Looking forward to him coming back. But, I mean, just think about it in these terms, Chris. Okay, now we all know, you know, Stockton and Malone were a great duo, and the majority of Utah's offensive scheme was built upon the Stockton and Malone two-man game, most notably the pick and roll, but they had all type of things they did, give and go, you name it, they did it, okay? Now we all, you know, most of us regard Karl Malone as being the number one guy in that duo, and John Stockton being number two. Now take that and compare them to John Collins and Trae Young. Okay, now just imagine if Stockton, though, was the best player on Utah as opposed to Malone. Okay, and that's a similar situation you have with the Hawks. You have the best player, Trae Young, but he's missing his Karl Malone. He's missing his two-man game guy. And, you know, all you guys who heard the interview with Bob Rathman the last time he was on around the ATL with us, he talked about the pick-and-roll chemistry that these two guys have at a young age and how it's so advanced that the guys have only played together 1 year and they are already, you know, like veterans when it comes to running the pick and roll. So taking half of that out of the Hawks offense, it's hurting us big time. This isn't the NFL, okay? The next man up phrase sounds good in every sport, but in basketball, one man certainly can affect the outcome of a game much more than in the NFL and in the other sport, even though people like to blame the quarterback in football. And so with that being said, sir, that's the first thing I point to. And I got others, but I'll give you a chance, you know, to respond and put some things back.
Shout out to those who are checking in on New Pack City as we got halftime in Chicago. Hopefully we can make a game of it somehow, some way. I mentioned all the aspects, and what I've been talking about lately in my posts and videos is accountability. Everybody has to be accountable. And fortunately, I say fortunately, last night, Pierce made himself accountable. But the thing of it is that it's upsetting because once he said it, why didn't he just do it? Why didn't he just call the timeout? And again, as I mentioned last night, all night long, a couple of different times, I don't mind the offense, the defense. People have been doing that since the beginning of time, since the Flintstones, okay? I don't know how that relates, but I just threw that in because I said beginning of time, okay? But my whole thing is, especially after we gave up the three, the nonsensical three-point shot, because we make people look like Larry Bird every time they play us because we can't stop the three, which is accountability again, but that's another story. After that, now we have a three-point lead. What was the reason you did not want to put the best point guard in the world on the floor to run our offense to either, one, get a foul, two, get a quality shot, three, just let Trae hit a shot? All those were better than what we actually got. And then come back down to court and have to give up that proverbial three-pointer that Jimmy Butler always seems to be able to make when it matters. And then we get blown out in overtime. Once he said, my bad, once he said that was on me, that was preventable. You see what I'm saying? And again, this is not just the first time. This is the first time it was so blatant that everybody was like, wow, right? And again, I don't have nothing against Coach personally at all. But my thing is, from year one to year two, this is not his first row in the boat, because he's been in the league for a certain length of time. Maybe not as the head coach, but his thoughts, his words, his experience has played a part in decision making before for other head coaches, which means he's been in those scenarios before, probably a billion times. So for me, and he also has, as Derek from New Pack City mentioned last night, he does have a former head coach on the bench. We forget about it sometimes because that part of his career wasn't all that, you know, what's the word? I don't know what you want to say it, but he ain't there. So, again, they either didn't like him or it didn't work out that well. But he has a former head coach on the team, too. Why didn't he step in and say, hey, we got time out? Because, see, Jamal's here. When he posted it last night, I really did get upset because I'm like, okay, the only fathomable way that that would have made sense is that for whatever reason, we didn't have no timeouts. We couldn't have had no timeouts, could we? We didn't have no timeouts because otherwise it didn't make any sense.
We had timeouts.
It didn't make any sense.
We had timeouts.
You see what I'm saying? So for me, it's just that kind of stuff to where we should not have as many losses. I don't care that John Collins ain't here. I don't care we have all these injuries to the bench people. I don't care about Red Mamba going down. You still got NBA players on this court, and you got Trae Young on the floor. Whereas too many times where either you've got people out there who can't shoot and can't pass the ball. How does that make any kind of sense? You have tape. You know the histories of these players. At least supposed to, because you're a developer. It doesn't make sense to just have Trae Young on the bench for 7 minutes while the other team blows you out. That doesn't make sense. So for me, it's a matter of accountability on the coaching and then effort on the guys on the floor. At a certain point, you got to be responsible. You can't be zeroing out like you can't go from one night to another and just be in the starting lineup and have 0 points.
Real quick, Chris, before we get into the players, I'd like to, you know, just kind of hit on Lloyd Pierce for a second. And that was one of my other things that I had that has been a problem this season. And now I try to be patient with any young coach. Similar situation to Kirby Smart, UGA, one of our local football teams that we cover. Obviously, he's made some clock management, you know, decisions that were wrong in big games and had some times where he didn't adjust properly. But even though he had been in big games as a defensive coordinator, it's a little bit different when you have to be the CEO, when you have to manage the entire operation. And I try to recognize that, and I try to have patience with that. But with that being said, I need to see, like you just mentioned, improvement. And that is also not only with the players, that is with Lloyd Pierce in these areas. A few games back, I'm trying to remember exactly which game it was. I want to say it was the it was the Pacers game, in fact, another close game loss. And here was a game in which Trae Young was on the floor, you know, majority of the time in the second half because we just couldn't get anything done when he sat down. And here in the NBA, you have automatically have like you have two timeouts no matter what when you get into the last 2 minutes. So in this scenario, the Hawks had three timeouts remaining. And rather than calling timeout, Coach Pierce allowed that timeout to just go away once the clock got under 2 minutes. Now, here you have your superstars play the entire second half. Why wouldn't you use that timeout to rest him, tell him to, hey, take a seat, get a breath, you know what I mean? We can't afford to take you out right now, so call it this timeout, you know, just to get you a rest because otherwise we're going to lose it anyway. Okay, and then you combine that with what happened last night. You know, you're doing a defensive substitution to get Trae Young out. But then you have timeouts, and you don't immediately call timeout when the Hawks get the ball back and get the best point guard in the East, if not the entire NBA, back into the ball game. I mean, come on, Coach Pierce. You know what I mean? Like, it's starting to get, I don't know. You know, I'm not ready to write him off yet, but we need to see some improvement in these areas. Also, the other area you mentioned, Chris, was defense. Defending the three-point line in particular. We know this has been a problem with this squad for many years now. We'll hear Coach Pierce mention oftentimes that we've got to defend the three better. But eventually it comes back to that word you love to use, Chris, accountability. If guys are not making the right rotations and staying up on the shooters like they should be, sit somebody on the bench and put somebody else in and give them the opportunity to do so. Because to continuously allow teams to shoot open three-pointers, it's a problem. And then what happens, once these guys knock down one or two open three-pointers, then they start making them with hands in their faces because these guys are NBA shooters. And once they get in the rhythm, it's hard to slow them down. So totally agree with you on Coach Pierce. He's got some things in his game. He definitely needs to tighten up. And one of them is first and foremost, and I know we're getting ready to talk about players next, and I'll let you go before I get my thoughts on players. But first and foremost, if you are the coach, for the love of God, stop DeAndre Bembry from bringing the ball up court, waving everybody else off, and just attacking the basket in big moments. Call timeout. Sit him on the bench. Do something. Do anything, sir.
646-652-4479. Again, shout out to y'all watching on New Pack City page. Make sure y'all click the link to listen to the show, of course. Let me make sure I type that in there. Be sure to click link above to listen live. So we talked about on the coaching side of things, and again, there's a wealth of information on that sideline, and it's a matter of they got to pair up and everybody got to chip in. Again, this goes in the – again, we don't know what happens off the court, but again, there's a certain things that we – if tape is involved, it seemingly is not getting watched a lot sometimes because too many things continue to happen over and over again. When it comes to the players, remember this is an hour of Hawks talk tonight. When it comes to the players, we have veterans on this team that have played in the NBA for five or more years. There's their expectation factor that all of a sudden they're not going to forget how to play basketball. I'm just being obvious right there. So I don't understand regression to a drastic nature on our guy Alex Lynn, who, again, I was one of the biggest proponents before he even signed with us to say, hey, if he becomes available, we're able to get this dude right here because Phoenix is underutilizing him, he could be great. And he proved himself. And then all of a sudden, he was zeroing out night after night in the starting lineup, not giving us no production. Then we finally get him on the bench, and he finally starts playing. With, like tonight, he has 15 points. Where would we be without Alex Lynn tonight, okay? But you have other people on this team. And again, not again, we got to throw Travis out there a little bit. No accountability. Why don't we have a point guard? There's no reason that in the NBA you can't have a quality backup point guard. Everybody else has at least one, maybe two sometimes. It couldn't have been money. Look who we have on our bench. Chandler, Pratt. Couldn't have been money, right? So what was it? I still want to know an explanation on why we don't have a point guard. Mostly because what happens with our offense when Trey walks off the floor? The minute Trey walks off the floor, the league says, Trey is off the floor. We're about to blow this team out. That's what people think. Last night, you have a coach that has won three NBA championships tussling with the Atlanta Hawks, with who we have right now, with Trey Young out there. Right? Now, that being said, every time you walk up trying to give Trey a screen, don't you know they're going to trap? So how come the rest of the players, and I don't know if this is coaching, but how come the rest of the players aren't darting to the basket so Trey could have some open lanes to pass to? Because you're going to get a layup. There was a point where they were quadrupling Trey Young. At least it seemed like it. It looked like a scene from one of those, what is it? What is that? One of those dragon movies or TV shows or whatever. They just all attack at the same time. It didn't make any sense. And you got guys just standing around, just la-di-dee and la-di-dying. It's not cool to me. And this is nightly, of course. Okay? And we still almost won that game, despite all that. Right? Great games from Cam, some great games from Hunter, I should say, and just everybody chipping in trying to play, but then all of a sudden it just dissipates into nothing. By the way, that was despite us giving up 23-point shots by, you know, someone said Macklemore the other day. Macklemore just shooting. I didn't even know he played in the NBA, right? On defense, we're still playing open space. We're playing other people's space, which leaves people wide open, of course. But the other thing about accountability on defense is rebounding. Why can't we rebound? There's no reason. I don't get it. We're hurting right now on all these different aspects. And again, I go back to accountability, but some of this is just basketball. What happened to blocking out? You see what I'm saying? And so, for me, it disturbs me that we have 18 losses right now, y'all. And everybody can say what they want to say. Oh, you're impatient, and this is da-da-da-da. No. I want to see wins. This team is good enough to win games. And they prove it night after night because we've gone against some of the best teams in the East. We've gone against some great teams in the West. And we're toe-to-toe with them all the way up until a certain point. And then all of a sudden, we've lost the game. There's something to that, and I don't like it. And I'm not going to like it. You're not going to convince me to like it. 646-652-4479. Talk some player stuff, Jordan.
Well, I mean, like you've mentioned, one of the biggest problems with us player-wise is we just have not been getting consistent production across the board from people besides Trae Young. DeAndre Hunter was fantastic last night, but, I mean, here tonight, he has yet to scratch. He's 0-4 from the floor in 15 minutes. Cam Reddish has had his struggles, but he's 3-4. And a 2-3 from downtown with 8 points. So it just shows you the up and downness of the rookies. Jabari Parker's been good for the most part, but he had a little low there where he had a couple games where he didn't shoot the ball well at all. And then, like you mentioned, our center position, they just do not rebound the ball well enough. They do not control the paint well enough. They do more fouling than anything, to be honest with you, sir, particularly Jones. He seems to be in foul trouble every
night.
Game. And early every night at that. He's done a decent job at finishing around the rim, but he just isn't rebounding the ball well enough. Him or Alex Len. And then, you know, we've had the regression from a player like Alex Len, a player who, I mean, this is a guy who had, you know, 30-point games for us down the stretch at the end of the season last season and has looked lost on the floor at times, as you mentioned, playing well tonight, 15.7-9 from the floor so far. But he's just been a disappointment. Another guy, and I hate to call out the veteran, and he's been much better lately, but Vince Carter opened up this season shooting horribly from downtown.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, could not buy a basket. Now, he has made, I want to say he's made 6 threes in his last 7 quarters played, and it's, I think it may have been 7 in the last 8 quarters played now because he did make, one in the second quarter of tonight's game. And so, you know, just not getting the constant production. And another guy, Evan Turner. Now, here's a guy who I thought that we would be having addition by subtraction, number one, just getting Kip Bazemore off the team. I thought getting a player in who didn't, you know, was not known for a guy who was going to chunk up a lot of shots would be much better for us. But as you mentioned, Travis Schlenk made a miscalculation thinking this guy can be a full-time backup point guard. And even if you did think that, you still should have had another capable point guard on this roster. And so, yeah, man, veterans like Turner, and I mean, like I said, at this point, I don't know. Maybe we would have been better off rolling with Bazemore for one more year versus what Turner's given us, particularly the fact that Turner's missed several games with an Achilles, a sore Achilles. And every time I hear Achilles, that's just an issue, and that's probably the reason why we're not getting what we thought we'd be getting from Evan Turner. But, you know, there again, we don't have privilege to these guys' medical records, but Travis Schlenk does. So the minute he knew Turner had an Achilles issue, he should have been bringing someone else in here, sir.
646-652-4479. There's always an alternative. I just don't believe that Travis was pigeon-toed into something. He was backed into a corner up against the wall. I just can't believe that because the man is brilliant. You know what I'm saying? And so I just don't see how we just didn't have no other options at all. Because right now, again, you got Jones with 10 now. Trae has 10 assists and he has 8 points. Hunter still has 0. He has an assist. Red Mamba has 9 points, 4 assists. Parker has 7 off the bench. Alex has 15, and Cam has 8. So the bench and Carter has 4. So right now the bench is doing okay technically. It's just the other team is doing much better, and we ain't really doing that much on our starting lineup right now. That's mostly because Hunter is zeroing out. And now we're down by 15. So I'm guessing that was a 3-pointer involved. Right now Zach LaVine has 20 now. Laurie has 12. Thaddeus has 9 for some reason. I don't know why. Denzel has 8 on those floaters he got. But other than that, they're not, like, killing us or whatnot, but it's enough. And, again, when we're again, the inconsistent, you know, can't hit a shot, you know, turning the ball, you know, it's just frustrating because again, this team is better than that. The team is really better than that. And again, a lot of people want to make light of Trae Young saying game was over and all this kind of stuff. First of all, he's the leader on the team. Second of all, the game was over. and at the end of the day, I felt that that game was taken away from them. And that's what hurts mostly. That game was the antithesis of what I'm thinking about this team as far as the future, but it's not sustainable with this. And again, John Collins coming back, just like with Red Mamba coming back, is going to change the dynamic again, because now you just get one player deeper, because Jabari will be coming off the bench now, right? So with Cam kind of coming into his own a little bit now, being more comfortable, and him being someone who's going to get you maybe 10, 12 points a night, hopefully on a consistent basis, you know Jabari can get you 10, 12, 15 points on any given night. You know Alex Lynn can do that. So you know your bench can get you your 30, maybe 40 points a night, plus sometimes if need be. You know John Collins is going to come in there with 19 points a night at least. Is this a matter of the consistency of Hunter, for one, definitely, right? Can he continue to be consistent? And what is Damian Jones, what is his threshold? You know, because you know Red Mamba, once he gets all of his legs back, you know he's going to get his 15, he can get 15, 17 any given night, you know. But it's going to be a matter of how they're going to mix in the offense when John Collins comes back. Are they going to continue to do what they were doing before? Or are they going to start taking the page out of, well, wait a minute, Jabari Parker, he can post up a little bit. You know what? John Collins can post up a little bit too and maybe create a double team. And we got Trey and Red Mamba out there, and Hunter can hit a three. Now, all of a sudden, you got three shooters out there. That changes the game a little bit if you did it. Or are you going to continue to not do that? You see what I'm saying? And again, going into next year, yes, we have to get Andre Drummond. We have to get him. That would be the best move the Hawks have ever made. If we could do that, can you imagine having someone out there who can get him a shot 10 feet in anytime? He can actually hit a solid 10 to 12 foot jumper if need be. He don't need to shoot no threes, though. We got enough three-point shooters. He needs to be inside the paint and getting 50 rebounds a night, because that's what he likes to do. Because we don't get 50 rebounds a night. It's 83 to 65, y'all. It's 83 to 65. So what is going on? Can someone tell me? Can anybody explain this to me? I don't think you can. 646-652-4479. I don't get it. This is foolery. Who's hitting me up here on Messenger? Go ahead, Jordan.
That's one of the big things, like you mentioned, back to the center position. We just had some issues there in terms of did not want to meet Dewayne Dedmon's asking price, so we downgraded there. Then the guy that we drafted that was supposed to, you know, be a guy that played some power forward and some center for us, Amari Spellman, did not hold up his end of the bargain and stand in shape in the offseason, caused us to have to move him for Damian Jones. And Bruno Fernando, I like what I've seen out of him in some flashes, but he's just not flat out ready to be a starting center in this league. So I agree with you. Andre Drummond should be the top target. We've seen with Damian Jones in this offense that this offense would be fine with a center that's not necessarily a shooter. And because the difference is Andre Drummond, he's the type of guy that just on a given game, he'll just decide, okay, guys, I'm getting all the rebounds today. No one else is getting any. And he'll get pretty much all the rebounds that day. So he's definitely the type of guy that we need. If somehow we're unable to convince him to sign here, then we're going to have to make a trade at that point. Maybe Steven Adams will be a guy from Oklahoma City that we could look at. Not an incredibly, you know, I say skilled offensive player, but finishes very well around the rim. In fact, is having career high numbers in that regard, playing with a good point guard in Chris Paul that, you know, truly will pass you the ball when you're open rather than wait until he gets in trouble and making this pass last minute like Westbrook did. And so he'd be another guy who I'd target. The guy who I felt and we've had some discussions about it on Hawks Twitter that would be a great fit here. I just don't know, you know, if he'd be available is Miles Turner. He's a guy who can shoot the three and stretch the floor, but is one of the top shot blockers in the NBA at 2.4 blocks per game. And so, yes, that, we have definitely, we whether and the only guy in the draft that I've seen so far will be James Wiseman out of Memphis that could fill that position for us. So we've got to fill that position first and foremost. Backup point guard is very important as well, but at least we have a great starter at point guard already. We don't have a great starter at center, sir. So we've got to fill that position, starting with Drummond as the top target.
And when you look at it now, it's like, was Deadman really that integral? And now you're starting to see maybe he was. And see, here's the deal. Even if we get a center that per se isn't the best rebounder, at least block some shots. Because when you start blocking
right.
shots, people start triple thinking coming into that paint a little bit, and they adjusting shots. And all of a sudden you got wild shots coming out because of the possibility of it getting blocked. You see what I'm saying? So it's got to be one or the other. Either you're going to be a supreme rebounder, you're going to be a supreme shot blocker. Of course, we would prefer to have both because, you know, Andre Drummond can do both, right?
Right.
But just right there, that presence all of a sudden makes everybody else better because they know that that person is down there. And so now with those screens that you might slip through and things of that nature and someone's trying to cut to the basket – there's all, and again, we have the athleticism on this team. And see, that makes me mad, of course, as well, because it's not like we don't have athletes on this team to move your feet. You see what I'm saying? To get through that screen, to go around the screen, to whatever the case may be. And so that's why I just say, again, right now it's 88-69. I don't know who else is going to score in this game. It ain't looking great. Damian has 10 still. Trey has 8 still. He has 11 assists, though. Jabari has 11. DeAndre still has 0. Red Mama has 9-4. Alex has 16 now. Cam has 8. Crab does have 3. And that's it. Then we got these other people that are on the team called Evan Turner, Tyrone Wallace, Brandon Goodwin. I just Chandler Parsons, Charlie Brown.
Chandler Parsons, right.
We again, it's a matter of we have people who are not going to play. Why are they on the team?
I think it's interesting that Bembry has not played in this game as well. After what
I don't think he's on. I think he's on punishment. He needs to be.
Good.
Because, sorry, it's the truth. We're talking about accountability. How many games now almost consecutively, what's up, Garrett? Almost consecutively, in situations that one person take us out of a situation that was favorable and put us in a disfavorable position because of him. Again, you know what your skill set is. At a certain point, if you're trying to push yourself into a skill set that you are not, is not cool. I hate to use the phrase. Stay in your lane, but
he just thinks he's Dominique Wilkins all of a sudden when the game is on the line.
It was not cool.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
And then the press conference yesterday, when Coach Pierce said, "Yeah, that led to an empty possession," he was talking about Bembry. He said he should have called the timeout because at the end of the day, it led to an empty possession, and then Jimmy Butler comes down and ties the game. That right there spelled almost a whole season right there because it's happened too many times. It's just frustrating, y'all. 646-652-4479.
Yeah, I mean, that's at least the third time that I've seen Bembry take just a hero ball shot this season. And we've lost all three of those games where he's done that in crunch time this season. And it happened a few times last season where he either took shots like that or he looked off Trey. I remember that particular the game that went like 6 overtimes. That was the second highest scoring game in NBA history against Chicago last year. It was Bembry that brought the ball up court, looked off Trey, and gave the ball to Kent Bazemore, who launched the last 2 threes of the game in that contest as well. So it comes to a point in time where Coach Pierce has to be accountable and hold Bembry accountable by sitting him on the bench in crunch time. I mean, don't get me wrong, Bembry, you know, he gives us a lot of hustle, a lot of heart. He plays good on-ball defense, but he just doesn't need to be anywhere near the floor when it comes to the last few minutes of the game, unless you're going to do a defensive substitution like he did last night. But when you do that defensive substitution and you get the ball back, you got to call timeout. Because at that point, if you don't have a timeout, it's not even worth trying to do a defensive substitution. Trae Young being on the court is more valuable than any kind of offensive or defensive move you can make. In fact, I've seen a much better effort from Trae defensively this season anyway, Chris, in my opinion.
Of course, yeah. He's not such of the detriment on the defensive end of the ball as he was last year, but he's learning and stuff like that. But he's working on getting better. And again, it's like I can't see that Bembry's contribution over what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know if what we get out of Bembry on all the other aspects can outweigh what he keeps trying to do that he can't do. He has not developed a jump shot on any level. These Dr. J moves that he keeps throwing up against the backboard, like it really was going to hit the top of the backboard, like the McDonald's commercial from Michael Jordan and Larry Bird. It's going to hit the top of the backboard, the rafter, and then it's going to drop into – no, it's not going to happen. It is not going to happen. So I don't get it. He's a slasher at cool. You know, he can get to the basket cool. He can dunk some cool. But all this other stuff he's trying to do is just not working, and he is not a facilitator. And then he turns the ball over too much. So, does that overlap the defensive prowess of trying to lock down somebody? Mm-hmm. I don't know if that sacrifice is worth it rather than having us a point guard that can control the offense and give Trae a real breather and also can hit his jumper. I mean, right now, I don't see it anymore because I think we wouldn't get down in these positions so much because, again, I'm not watching the game right now. I'm doing a show. But now we're down 95 to 75. So I'm having to think, okay, well Trae obviously is in the game 27 minutes. Yeah, but it's just like this is not cool anymore. We were competitive last night until overtime, and now we're not competitive at all. You know what I'm saying? DeAndre still has 0 points. I'm thinking he's off the court now. You see what I'm saying? Alex Lynn has 16 still. Cam has 8 still. Crab has 6, so it looks like he's hit 2 threes now, I'm guessing. But Trae right now is on the floor more than everybody else. He has 11 points, 11 assists. He's buzzing his butt, and we're not even in the game. It's like we don't even have a chance. Meanwhile, on the other side of the ledger, Zach LaVine has 33. His shot is so easy, Bob said earlier tonight, right? Laurie has 12. Kobe White has 7. Denzel still has 8. So they haven't really done anything. It's just Zach LaVine just killing them. You got one guy. So now we can't stop one guy and make somebody else beat us? Let Kobe White get 29 again if he can. But don't let Zach LaVine keep shooting because he's going to get 50.
Right. He's up to 35 points now, and he's 7 out of 7 from three-point range. 12
there it is.
Out of 15 from the floor. 12 out of 15 from the floor, sir. That's just – I'm sorry. Like, DeAndre, I know he's a rookie. He's still got to learn. But if he's going to be the defensive guy and you're going to give me 0 points, as well, I need you to be stopping some of that LaVine is doing tonight. And like you said, I'm unable to currently watch and concentrate on doing the show right now. So I'm just more, scoreboard watching right now as we do around the ATL. But, man, that's just bad, sir. Very bad.
One day, somebody's going to hit 33s on us. One player is going to hit 33s on us. Watch. It's bound to happen because we can't stop it. They're about to hit 100 points. With 2 minutes and 24 seconds left in the third quarter. Well, they just hit it. Oh, my bad. At least we got 80.
They're over 100 now.
At least
and
we got 80,
still
though.
Of 18 as a team shooting the three. That's 55.6%, sir.
Trey's trying to get his 20 assists tonight, though. So that'll be at least one bright spot. Cam has 11 now, so he's doing a little something tonight. Because right now, DeAndre still has 0 points. I don't understand how you go from 30 points, basically, to zero. That right there baffles me. That right there is confusing to me. I'm confused. I'm just saying, this is his one night. I mean, we're talking about, again, accountability. Everybody else plays back-to-back. Well, only the Hawks is supposed to affect them so much to where they can't compete. I ain't never seen that before because I see other teams on the back-to-back play well regularly. So what is it really then? You see what I'm saying? And again, accountability across all sides. What are the players doing to not be prepared? What are the coaches doing to prepare these guys? Is it, again, is it discipline? Are these all the guys all out at the strip club or wherever they whatever they do when they go to another city? They're not getting in until, I think Steve Holman said they didn't get in until like 2 or 3 in that morning. So where what's going on? But this is everybody. Everybody does this. This is not new. You see what I'm saying? So I don't know. It's upsetting to me because the team is better than this. I just know the team is better than this. And people will be like, well, obviously not because they have 18 losses. That's not – the losses are not a reflection of this team. It's a reflection on the people who have been put on the floor at certain times. I see Bruno's in the game now.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
I just feel
– well, here comes the comeback, hopefully. But I just feel it's a matter of – if the rotations can you know, again, maybe we just need to play a 10-man rotation. I don't know. You see what I'm saying? Maybe Trae Young needs to play 40 minutes a night. Again, Travis Slank has to be put into the mix of on the accountability side. And see, this is what gets me. At this point, it is December. You mean to tell me you're really going to go the rest of the season and not properly – rest Trae Young and really just kind of disrespect the fact that Trae Young is really mad about these losses? You're just going to let that go? Because that's what it looks like in press conferences. That's what it looks like with non-roster moves at this point. Saying it and doing it is two different things. How long are you just going to languish the season away? We know we don't have John Collins back for at least another, 2 weeks or so?
December
give or take
23rd.
How many games? How many?
December the 23rd is the return date, if I'm not mistaken.
December 23rd. So we got 12 days, give or take. So how many more losses are we going to have to eat? You see what I'm saying? That don't make no sense to me because I don't believe it's necessary. What is necessary? You got one of the best – again, we know we got one of the best point guards in the league. We do, period. We know we got one of the best young cores in the league. We do, period. But who else knows that we have it? Because it worries me that it doesn't seem like this city knows, our coaching staff knows, the GM knows, because it's just, we got all these pieces, but to not put them in the best position, again, one of the five things that makes your franchise successful over a period of time, one, you have an owner that wants to win, does what's necessary to win, and gets management who knows what they're doing, and then he trusts the management that makes decisions. You have management that makes wise decisions over a long period of time. You have a good to great coach, you have good to great players, and you stay healthy. We haven't had a whole heck of a lot of any of those things in the Hawks' history, have we? You see what I'm saying? We finally have us an owner that wants to win. We finally do have management that knows what they're doing. We don't know if we have a good to great coach yet. We know we have some good to great players, but health has kicked us in the butt, right? So for me, it's a matter of I know we're not that far away. But right now, we are a little bit far away because we keep having nights like this. And we're about to end up having our, unless something crazy happens, we're about to have our 19th loss of the season. And we only have 6 victories. We're not that bad. We just can't be because we've lost too many games by how many points? 1 point, 2 point, 5 points. We're someone scoring double digits away from a borderline, having at least 10 wins, 12 wins maybe, borderline 500. So how are we that bad? 646-652-4479 is the question tonight. And I'm trying to see if anybody from New Pack City, all these people in here. Garrett, what's up? Bruce, what's up? Did I say hello? Let me see. I'll type it in here. I guess everybody's enamored with the game here. I don't see how you could be enamored 106-87. It's the end of the third, so let's see what the new numbers are. Trae has 13-12. Damian still has 10. DeAndre has his 3. Red Mamba has his 9-4 still, 2 boards, so go along with that. Jabari has 11. Cam has 12, so he's still ticking up. Crab has 6. Alatulin has 16 now and 5 rebounds. Jabari Parker leads the team in rebounds with 7 right now, coming off the bench. Damian has 3. Alex has 5. So your centers have 8 boards.
Right, combined.
Combined. Okay, maybe throw that in there. Combined. Trey has 2. He has 1 less than Damian. I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Bruno has 3 points. He has 2 assists. He has a board. That's in 4 minutes. You know what? Give Bruno 50 minutes a night, please. I just want to see what he can do. I don't care if he's not ready. What else can go wrong?
What he can do too.
I just need to see it. What's the problem? If Damian can't stay out of foul trouble, and he can't rebound, and he's not blocking shots, he finishes at the rim, great. But I think Bruno can finish at the rim. I know Bruno actually can go and get rebounds. I know Bruno actually tries to block shots. I need somebody to try harder. I don't know about the rest of y'all. 646-652-4479. I'm sorry to be like this, y'all, but again, it's frustrating because this team is better than this. I know all of you who might have loser mentalities, and you've had loser mentalities since we traded Dominique and the 99 season and Marvin and Sheldon and Priest and Adam Keefe and all this kind of stuff. That's cool. But this team is the team of the future, and this is a team that will win a championship. But how things are going right now is not sustainable because in the mindset part of it, Trae Young is remembering what Atlanta Hawks fans said, a lot of y'all said about him in summer league. He remembers this. He's never going to forget it. Again, the whole moniker of keep that same energy didn't come from outside of Atlanta. It came from Atlanta. Bob Rathman said, keep your shirts on. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised how Atlanta is treating Trae Young. I'm kind of surprised. That's Bob Rathman. And here we are 2 years later now, and the score is 106-87 because we can't stop Zach. He has 35 points, I guess. I don't know. He might have more than that. My scoreboard is kind of slow on this side.
Yeah, it's 35.
You know what I'm saying? And it's unconscionable, y'all. So as we had this hour of talking Hawks, as we get ready to finish up, we would love to hear from some of you. Online, but thanks for those who are watching online on the Facebook page, New Pack City. Shout out to everybody who is watching. Quite a few people tonight. Let me give them one more shout out. As I remember, Garrett was on there, Bruce was on there, Derek, Jamal, George, and a few others, I believe. So appreciate y'all taking the time to watch. We're going to continue this. We're going to see if any moves are made. You know, the grapevine says, the rumors, I haven't had a rumor one in a while, the rumors say, maybe we'll get Kevin Love. Kevin Love rebounds. Don't he? He's been rebounding his whole life. I don't care if he don't ever shoot a shot. He rebounds. We just need alternatives
just
to what we got
healthy
right now. You see what I'm saying? Where's Jamal Crawford? Where's Jay Crossover at? I love him in the Hawks uniform right now. He can still play. If Vince Carter can still play,
right,
Jamal Crawford can still ball. Didn't he just score 50 points last year? Didn't he?
His last game that he played in last year, he had 50 points.
Wasn't it? So he ain't that far away. He don't need to learn no offense. He just needs to dribble and go over to the three-point line and get him a four-point play. That's all we need. Give Trey 10 minutes of rest, and we'll be good. We just need to do different than what we got because, again, we got right now on this roster, literally, guys, you got – oh, that's the Bulls roster. We got on this roster 1, 2, 3, 4 players that literally do not play at all. Goodwin, Wallace, Brown, Parsons. That's crazy. You got Turner, who shouldn't be playing at all, so that's 5. So we're playing literally down 5 people all the time, basically, as far as production of any kind, y'all. That's tough. So, again, just because John Collins comes back, we're still going to have them other people. What are we going to do? That's what worries me more so than anything. It's possible we could get worse. That's scary, but it's possible. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know. I don't know. telling you, dude. So again, I'm speaking from being realistic at this point. I still think we can win 43 games this year, but not like this. We're not that far away, though. Last night showed how not we played the top one of the top teams in the East. They've been playing so well. You can't discredit them. They play great basketball. Coach Spo has those guys playing well. They got shooters all around. You got Jimmy Butler, Bam out there doing triple doubles now. But we had the lead. We had them beat. The game was over.
Yep.
That was one of those games where you knew the game was over. That was a confidence boosting game where we played well enough to easily win that game, and we did. And it was the thrill of victory, the agony of defeat. It was a Wu-Tang lyric. It wasn't cool to me.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't cool because that game was over, and the other team was allowed to win. And that should be unacceptable. It should be unacceptable. If you saw Trae Young's reaction, that said it all, along with his social media. It says it all. It's 108-90. So it looks like we'll at least score 100. That's thankful for that, at least. Trae has 13-13. DeAndre now has 6. No other changes in the score, so I guess we'll score every 2 minutes or so, I guess. This is so sad. So anyway, y'all, we're going to be doing a little bit of a different format as we close out. Nothing is too official yet, but we're going to try to do 5 days a week. We're going to roll it out starting this week, and we're going to go into next week. We're going to see how it goes. We're going to try to do a Braves show tomorrow. We're going to do a Falcon show on Friday. And the next Monday, we might do some we'll probably redo some Braves, maybe do some Hawks. We might do a combo next week. We'll see. I don't know if we'll have enough to do like an Atlanta United show. We definitely have enough to do a UGA show.
Oh, man.
What I had somebody invite me. I said, I knew I got a shoot to do. And I was like, I was really tempted. I was like, no, you know what? I just have a feeling. I'm so glad I went and did that photo shoot. But anyway, so go dogs. Yay. Okay. So, but we're going to see how we're going to roll it out. But here's the deal, y'all. Follow the pages. Instagram, Facebook, IMTN Worldwide Radio. Go to iHeartRadio right now. Listen to episode 72 of Around the ATL. Listen to Dominique Wilkins and what he said about the Hawks at the beginning of the season. Follow the Spotify page, the iHeartRadio page, the radio.com page, the Spreaker page for Around the ATL. Listen to some great Atlanta sports talk. Of course, follow me on Instagram, my personal page, IMTM1, or my business page, IMTM Worldwide. Be posting the movie casting up soon. Check it out. And, of course, please do this. Go to go watch Falling Star. Go to Amazon Prime and watch the movie Falling Star. It's my first director debut of a movie of any kind. Shout out to the Okon twins. They're in Nigeria right now doing their thing. But watch that movie because we're trying to get a production budget for that to go all the way with this. So we need to show people that people like the film. Okay? Jordan, how can people read your articles, find you on social media, and see what you've been up to lately?
Yes. Check me out on Sports Illustrated Bulldog Maven. Been doing a lot of stuff with UGA there lately. Continue to keep a lookout for me on atlallday.com as well. Haven't been doing as much there lately, but getting ready to crank out some more stuff with the Hawks as well as about fixing the Falcons, how we go about fixing the Falcons after this season. Check me out on Twitter and Instagram at Jordan23ATL. Certainly appreciate all you guys listening and hope you guys catch on with us in this new format. And last but not least, I got to thank God for giving me this breath that I breathe to talk about these Atlanta Hawks and these Atlanta and Georgia sports that I love.
All right, guys. Well, that is going to do it for the show tonight. Hopefully y'all enjoyed it. We'll be again on the air tomorrow sometime or another. You want to catch us on one of the Braves pages. I'll probably do a live Facebook Live on there too. Going to talk some Braves offseason. Winter meetings are ongoing right now. See if we're going to spend any money and get some of these people. But in the meantime, we're going to get out of here. Y'all take care. Again, we want the Hawks to win. And the only way we can continue to push is to talk about it. Not for pressure out where the pressure is needed, y'all. We got to grow as an organization. So that being said, y'all take care. This is Chris on Around the ATL. Peace.
I'm gonna go get some food.